Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. This is the reading of God's word. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. O Father, we pray that you would pour out your blessings upon the preaching of your word, that you would pour out your blessings upon your people who are hearing your word. O Father, even as we hear, if you do not work in us, if you are not at work, all is waste of time. So, Father, even as we hear your word, let us pray to you that you will work, that you would use the preaching of your word so that we may hear your voice, that powerful word of God that creates the whole universe, that your word will make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that your word will be preached and taught the way that pleasing to you, and that all of us will be rejoicing. For we see your Son, Jesus Christ, and we see our heavenly reality through your word. Bless us and receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Through Revelation chapter 20, we have learned many things. We have learned about 1,000-year kingdom, and we have learned about the final Armageddon war and the eternal destruction of Satan, his beast, and the false prophet. And now we come to verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. What are we looking at here? It's usually called the Great White Throne Judgment. It is the final judgment, the eternal judgment of God. It is the day of our Lord's return and the judgment of that day. John chapter 5, verse 28 through 29, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. The believers will resurrect to eternal life, and non-believers will resurrect to be condemned forever by God. That day, when we see our Lord coming down from heaven, all will stand before God. No exceptions. All of us. All human beings will stand before God. We read about this day before in the book of Revelation. Let me read to you chapter 11, verse 18. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came. And the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. It is that day. John sees a great white throne, and someone is sitting on it. Obviously, from the context, we are able to say the person who is sitting on this throne is the judge. And he is sitting on a white throne. And we already saw what the color white signifies. And in chapter 14, verse 14, we have met Jesus Christ, who sat on a white cloud. And there we have discussed the color white points to the holiness, the righteousness, the glorious and true. The person who is sitting on the white throne is also our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know this? From many, many verses that tells us that when that day come, when the judgment day come, it will be Jesus Christ who will judge. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 22. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son. And Acts chapter 10. Verse 42. And He ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one, and he's talking about Jesus Christ, who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. So, we have no doubt whatsoever that the judge of that judgment day is our Lord Jesus Christ. So John is seeing our risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting on a white throne. And he says that the earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. Now, we have already seen this, so I'm not going to repeat this. But when Jesus returns, when that judgment day comes, this whole world will be no more. And in chapter 21, verse 1, it says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. So when the new heaven and new earth appear, the old, the first heaven and first earth disappear. And verse 5 of chapter 21, and I'm going to, and he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. The first things have passed away, the last part of verse 4. And Peter actually describes what is happening at that time this way. Let me read that to you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord, the judgment day, will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. So that is what we're looking at in our verse 2. Now we see, John sees a white throne, and there's judge who is sitting on that throne, and earth and sky is no more. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. This world is no more. Then, when we go back to our passage, what happens? Chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So what are we looking at here? We see the white throne. We see the judge who is sitting on it. And both the believers and the non-believers resurrect at that day to stand before God, the judge. But what you need to understand here is that verses 12 through 15 focuses on the eternal judgment of non-believers. And we see this pattern so many times. You know, chapter 19 and chapter 20 both shows the same battle, but chapter 20 showing us the same battle, but focused on something that is different from chapter 20, showing the same battle, but focused on something that is different from what chapter 19 is focusing on. So, of course, that day when Jesus returns, all, both believers and non-believers, will stand before God for that judgment day. But here in verses 12 through 15, the focus is the judgment of non-believers. And here, what you need to understand is this, that we see two standards. Look at it very carefully. We see two standards. One standard is books, plural. If you read verse 12, books were open. Plural books were open. And it talks about the another book, singular. So it's not, these two groups of people are not judged by single standard. There's books, and some of them are judged according to those books, and the others are judged according to the book. And in the books, the works of the dead are written. In the books, what is written in the books? All the things that these people have done in their lives. Verse 12b, the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. But the other book, and our verse tells us what? The other book, which is the book of life, and what is written in it? Not the works, but in this book, the names of the believers, names of the elect are written in this book. Do you see that? You need to see very clearly. Otherwise, these verses become scary verses. But if you understand very clearly, it is not scary at all. Books, what is written on it, in it? People's deeds, what they have done. But one book, what's written in it? Names. Not works, but names of elect, of the elect. Now, let's read other verses that will talk about this book of life so that we may have a little bit more understanding, but, you know, not much because there are not that many verses that talks about this book of life, but nevertheless, let's go. Chapter 3 of Revelation, 3 verse 5. It says that he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments and will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So, God's people's name is written in the book of life, and Jesus says, I will not erase those names. Chapter 13, actually chapter 13 verse 8 and chapter 17 verse 8, they talk about the same thing. So I'm just going to read chapter 13 verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. It's talking about beast. And on, you know, every time book of Revelation point to non-believers, it's always dwellers of the earth. Because according to book of Revelation, saved people, God's people are not dwellers of the earth, they are dwellers in heaven. So here you get the understanding, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, the beast, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Now, this is very, very important. Okay, I'm going to repeat this. Book of life, what is written in it? Not the works, but names. But this verse, the 13:8, shows us that those names were written long before they were born. Long before they have done anything, those names were written in the book. Do you see that? Now, this is very, very important because, you know, not only you have to understand that, you know, everyone whose name is written on the book of life are saved, but you have to also understand that those names are not written in the book of life just because you did good deeds. No. Names were written in the book of life long before anyone was born. Which means before anyone did anything good or bad, those names were written in the book of life. Clear? Okay, let's move on then. The names are not written according to their works, but the names are written even before they have done anything good or bad. And you and I understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord, He knows our names. John chapter 10, verse 3b, He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. Here, the people who are being judged in our passage, people who are being judged according to their works are called the dead. Here it is very important to look at the whole context of the chapter 20. The believers are never called the dead. Actually, we have already seen this in chapter 20, verse 4. Believers are described as what? They came to life. And chapter 20, verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life. See, there was a separation of two groups there, right? In chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. One group, they came to life. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. So, during the church age, Christians are described as those who have come to life. So even when you're dead, you are alive because you go to heaven. But the rest of the dead, they did not come to life until 1,000 years are ended, meaning that only when the judgment day comes, when the 1,000 years are passed, when the church age is completed, when Jesus returns, they come to life. Yes, they resurrect. But they resurrect to be judged. So in our passage, the 1,000 years are ended and the non-believers are resurrected to be condemned forever. They now stand before Jesus Christ, the judge, to be judged forever and ever. And this is very, very important. When it comes to the judgment of believers, we do not use the word judgment. Go to John chapter 5. Very, very important verse. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. For believers, the judgment has already happened. God has judged believers already in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on that cross, God judged His people in Him. So when this great white throne judgment day comes, there is no judgment for the believers because we have been already judged. Jesus has already received that judgment. And he says the sea gave up the dead. Sea gave up the dead. See, we have to understand the context. These people who are being judged in our passage. Sea has gave up the dead. The sea in the book of Revelation is the realm of death, the realm of Satan. And death and Hades gave up the dead. Hades, that is where non-believers go, not believers. Hades. Hell. And each person is judged according to what he has done. Do you understand? All those who do not believe in Jesus Christ will be judged according to their works. For non-believers, the standard is God's law. And they will be judged according to their works. And you know what happens if you're judged according to your works. All of them will forever condemned because no one lives perfect life. But believers, Jesus Christ our Lord on the cross was judged by God instead of us and received the eternal punishment of hell instead of us. Thus we are now forgiven of our sins and received by God. But if anyone does not believe in Jesus Christ, then he or she at the end will be judged according to his or her own works. Do you understand when I said there are two standards? If one says, I do not believe Jesus has done anything for me, then God will say, okay, then let us judge you according to your own life. Do you understand what's going on? But if you say, I believe Jesus died for my sins, I believe that Jesus lived a perfect righteous life for me, then God will say, okay, then let us judge you according to what Jesus has done. This is what will happen. And that person who refused to believe in Jesus Christ, he has nothing to say because he says, I don't believe that Jesus has done all that for me. So God will say, okay then, let us just judge you according to what you have done. And when that happens, you know what results? You'll die, you'll be condemned forever because nobody lives up to the standards of God. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. You heard this so many times. Let me just read to you. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Oh yes, there are people who does good according to the standard of this world. But there's no one who does good according to the standard of God. But see, judgment is according to the standard of God, not what the world says what is good or bad. And that is the testimony of the Bible. It continuously tells us that no one is righteous. Nobody does good. Chapter 3 of Romans, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Chapter 3, verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. When you understand the law of God, then you know you are a sinner. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Let me read that to you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Very, very clearly written. If you are judged according to the law of God, then you are damned forever. What is important then is what? What is important is whether your name is written on the book of life. That is important. It's not about what you did or how many things you did wrong or all those sins that you know, bothers you and torment you when you think about them. But brothers and sisters, if you are in Jesus Christ, you are not judged by your works. And when you believe, then what are you doing? That you show to everyone that your name is written in the book of life. It is not that by our own good works that our name is written in the book of life. No. By believing in Jesus Christ, we witness the fact that our names are written in the book of life. By believing, you show that your name is indeed written in the book of life. And when your name is written in the book of life, and how do you know? You believe. And when your name is written in the book of life, then you will not be judged according to your works. On that day, two standards, one by the books, one by works, but the other by a book, whether your name is written in it or not. Remember, if one does not believe, then he or she is judged according to his own or her own works. See, you guys have to understand, the gospel is good news. And if gospel is good news, it will make you happy. But if gospel says that you have to do good works to be saved, then it's not good news at all. Because you know and I know we are not able to do good works according to the standard of God. I mean, we're still called to do our best, but your best is never good enough. Let's read some verses from Romans to understand this concept here. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. If you want to go with the law, if you want to go with your works, then you got to do it. You have to do it perfectly. Otherwise, you will be damned. Very clear? Let's go, verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, These, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of man through Christ Jesus. Even people who does know gospel, who never heard Jesus Christ, God gave them the law, their conscience. And their conscience actually condemns them when they sin. You know, even non-believers, when they kill a man, they feel guilty. Uh-oh, where is that coming from? He knows he did something wrong. And by that conscience, he has no excuse. He actually admits that he did wrong. When that day comes, when the judgment day comes, even though he didn't hear any gospel, but he stands before God and he has no excuse because he knows he did wrong. And one little thing wrong, according to law, you're damned forever. But see, you might think, man, that is just too much. That's just one little sin. But you have to understand, how do we know that certain wrongdoing is so serious? How do we know that in this world? You look at the punishment attached to that wrong. When you look at the punishment, if punishment is great, then we know that that sin is also great. And this is the thing. You need to see that. You might think sin is just casual thing. You know, we sin. Little thing here and there, and you might think it's just nothing. But when you look at the punishment, you know how serious that sin is. Because you are sinning against God, who is so great, there is no measurement. So even non-Christians are judged. Even when they do not hear the gospel, God has given them the law in their hearts to either condemn or defend what they have done. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would not be would no longer be grace. So according to the Bible, grace and works are the opposite words. It's antonyms. If it is by works, then it's not grace. If it is grace, then it's not works. And we are saved by grace, not by works. Because no one will be saved by works. The famous verse that I read to you time to time, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Very clearly, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I mean, it's very, very clearly written. It's not by works. Because if it is by works, no one will be saved. Romans chapter 4. Let's go there together. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let me read to you verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Meaning that he was not justified by works. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Aha! His belief was credited to Abraham as his righteousness. But belief in what? Belief in the Messiah who's coming and do all those things that Messiah was promised to do. Go to verse 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Do you get that? Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those who lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. See, on that great judgment day, if your name is written in the book of life, then you are the blessed man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. And that is the good news. Man, just think about it. If it is like you stand before God and God just tells the whole world what all those, you know, sins you have committed, just, and then I'm just judged by all my works, man, that's not a great day. That is a terrible day. That is the worst day of your eternal life, man. Well, it's not even eternal life. But God will not take into account your sins because Jesus died for those sins. That is why Romans 5 verse 1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore there is now no condemnation. God does not condemn you. Yeah, even when stupid pastor like me sounds like condemning you, God does not condemn you. He doesn't. Because he has already condemned Jesus Christ who bore your sins. So do you see it? Our sins were imputed to our Lord Jesus Christ as he died on the cross, and his righteousness is imputed to us. We are judged by the works of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. So, if you do not believe, if your name is not written in the book of life, then you are judged by your own works. But if your name is written in the book of life, then you are judged by Jesus' work for you. And he did everything perfectly. By believing in Jesus Christ who lived the perfect righteous life for us, we are justified, called by God as righteous people of God. All those who believe, their names are written on the book of life. The books in which the works are written has nothing to do with you anymore. Those books, it says, and all the acts, all the deeds of their life is written in it. You don't have to worry because those books have nothing to do with you anymore. You know how perfectly God takes care of our sins. Go to Jeremiah. Man, this kind of verse, I don't know. I mean, I preached this last week on the Korean worship, and when I was preparing this, I'm like, man, I couldn't know what to do. This is just so, it's beyond words. It just brings so much joy to you. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 20. Look at what he says. In those days and at that time, you know, at the end, at the judgment day, declares the Lord, search! Search will be made for the iniquity of Israel. Search will be made for the iniquity of you, but there will be none. And for the sins of Judah, but there will not be found. For I will pardon those whom I leave as remnant. Do you hear what he's saying? On that great white throne judgment day, if anyone tries their best to find sins of young Kim, they will not find it. Because it's already covered. It is already erased. It is already cleansed. My sins will not be found. That is how perfectly God takes care of your sins. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are covered. Your sins are erased. And it's not just erased in the book. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says what? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. It says, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. You know, your sins will be erased even from the memory of God. God will not remember because he has already judged that sin in Christ. Oh, come on, show a little happiness here. This is what the gospel says. All that is left for you is the reward in Jesus Christ. Of course, it is not that our works themselves are worthy for the reward. All is because of Jesus Christ. All non-believers and the death itself are eternally destroyed. They are thrown into the lake of fire. And we will be looking at this topic, lake of fire, hell, in detail next time. You and I who believe in Jesus Christ have nothing to do with the lake of fire. Now in chapters 21 and 22, we learn about our eternal heavenly reality. Yes, so these verses are not verses that you read and be concerned and be afraid. Oh, we're judged by our own works, and my works, I know it's sinful and I'm dead. No. That's only when you don't believe. God is not requiring you to do certain things for you to be saved. He's not requiring you of anything. Only thing he is requiring you, only thing, is to believe. Believe. Because if you don't, then now it's all up to you. And when it's all up to you, you will eternally fail. And that is not good news. That is definitely not good news. is good news. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. This is your reality. And we're going to learn about your reality in heaven in chapters 21 and 22. Let us rejoice, brothers and sisters, because this is our eternal reality. Let us give all the glory and thanksgiving to our Lord Jesus Christ, for he and he alone has accomplished all of these for us. So brothers and sisters, the good news is that you are able with boldness to stand before God on that great final judgment day of God, and you do not have to be in fear. That is why that day is a great day for us. That day is most amazing day. That God will accept us without any hesitation because of what Jesus has done for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and if any of you who are still having problem believing, I beg of you and I pray to God that he will enable you. Believe. Believe. And you are the blessed person. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. It is just so amazing to us, the amazing grace of God and the great salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Oh Father, we thank you for writing down our names in the book of life, and that Jesus Christ, he has received all the judgment of God for us in our places, instead of us. So that even on that great white throne day of judgment of God, we do not have to fear. We welcome it. We welcome that day. For on that day, we will see you face to face. And Jesus Christ will be fully and perfectly vindicated. All knees will bow down. All lips will confess that he is God and Lord. Oh Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.